Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we'll get you ready before first pitch. Coming up, today's starting lineups. We'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper, now live from the Fan On Deck Studios. This is the Pella Windows and Doors Baseball On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, on Sports Radio, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Brewers fans, a Saturday out in the Bay Area, not much better than Oracle Park for a matinee Brewers and Giants. Welcome into the Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin On Deck Show. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch, taking you the next hour up until Brewers and Giants, a 4:05 Eastern time, 3:05 Central time start out there at Oracle Park, a 1:10 local start. And Madison Bumgarner has been good against the Brewers in day games and good against the Brewers his entire career long. Get a look at those numbers. Starting lineups and more here from Craig Counsell, a conversation we had on the Wendy's Big Show yesterday with Adam McKelvey, as well as Jimmy Nelson, the Brewers' starting pitcher today. Second start back for Jimmy Nelson since his reconstructive right shoulder surgery. Didn't fare great against the Miami Marlins the last time out. Just three innings, gave up four earnings, five runs total across Jimmy's wire. We'll hear from him after that start here on the Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin On Deck Show. Last night, a 5-3 loss for the Crew against these same Giants, and a familiar face gets the save in Will Smith, his 17th of the year. Will Smith has been dealing, possibly and most likely, the Giants' lone all-star. Drew Pomeranz gets his win, his second on the ledger. Zach Davies, his first loss of 2019. And it comes on just five innings and 68 pitches. Brewers needed some offense, and Craig Counsell goes to the well. Pinch hits for Davies in a 3-2 game at the time. Brewers down for Eric Thames in relief. Eric Thames does not convert. Brewers do get a run in the eighth inning, make it close, had the tying run at the dish in both the eighth and ninth innings, but couldn't do it. A 5-3 loss last night in San Francisco. Move on to today's game.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on The Fan. Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineup. Sponsored by Waukesha Sports Cards, your shopping headquarters for sports collectibles and authentic hand-signed memorabilia. Go to WaukeshaSportsCards.com for a list of their upcoming autograph signings.
First for the Crew, still in first place. Chicago Cubs dealing with those LA Dodgers over the weekend. They're 0-2 against the Dodgers in the four-game set right now. Brewers still cushioned in the lead of the NL Central by one game, 3.5 over the St. Louis Cardinals, 8 against the Pirates and Reds. They'll see both of those teams before the All-Star break tonight. For the Crew, 39-30. Craig Counsell's lineup reads as followed: in center field, Lorenzo Cain leading off. In right, it's Christian Yelich. Ryan Braun, in his customary three-hole, plays left. Yasmani Grandal will clean up today and man first base. Hitting fifth, playing third, Mike Moustakas. HP, after a dazzling night defensively last night, HP gets the start again at second base. Hernan Perez will hit sixth. Orlando Arcia hitting seventh, bumped up from eight, playing short. And Manny Pena doing the catching for Jimmy Nelson, hitting eight in front of Nelson, the ninth. Cain, Yelich, Braun, Grandal, Moustakas, Perez, Arcia, Pena, and Nelson. And for Bruce Bochy's San Francisco Giants, 29-38 on the year. They sit in last in the NL West. Dodgers with a 10.5 game lead over second place Colorado and Arizona, 13 over the Padres and 16.5 over these San Francisco Giants. They'll send Madison Bumgarner to the bump, a three-time world champion. Bumgarner charged with a tough luck loss Sunday against those LA Dodgers. Just one run given up on a Max Muncy home run into the Bay. 7 innings of strong baseball from Bumgarner. He's 7-4, 2.63 career ERA against the Milwaukee Brewers. Leading off for the Giants today, the second baseman Joe Panik. Mike Yastrzemski, grandson of Carl Yastrzemski, Hall of Famer for the Boston Red Sox. Mike Yastrzemski with a game winner last night. He is in left, hitting second. Brandon Belt, the first baseman, hits third. It's Pablo Sandoval, Big Panda, over there at third base. Steven Vogt, former Brewer, does the catching for the Giants today, hitting fifth. It's Kevin Pillar hitting sixth out in right. Brandon Crawford, the shortstop, will hit eighth. Steven Duggar, the center fielder, Duggar, hitting eighth. And Madison Bumgarner up on the bump today, hitting nine for Bruce Bochy. It's Panik, Yastrzemski, Belt, Sandoval, Vogt, Pillar, Crawford, Duggar, and Bumgarner.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. What's Craig Counsell have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's scoop from the skipper on The Fan.
Not much to be said. Brewers still riding high on the West Coast trip. Now sitting at 1-2 on the road trip currently. Craig Counsell last night quickly after the game before we hear from Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a couple rallies, and yeah, we didn't get multi-run innings where we just strung together that next hit with the guys on base. So it ends up with three runs, and that's the way it goes.
It looked like a night where maybe it was hard to get one out, but they put some good swing in the home run.
Well, they hit three homers, so yeah. No, I mean, we didn't drive the baseball tonight, I would say. I think the wind might have. We didn't put the ball in the air that much tonight, so I think the wind might have been blowing out a little bit, to be honest with you. We just didn't completely capitalize on our opportunities, and you know, we had some good pitching matchups, and then didn't get a zero up there, unfortunately, in the seventh. I thought the inning set up pretty good for us. We just, Yastrzemski get the home run, give him credit.
That homer by Sandoval surprised you a little bit. It looked like a good pitch. It was down and away, and it just kind of went out.
Yeah, no, he had a couple changeups on Zach tonight. So he did a nice job with the change.
The Giants definitely sitting on the changeup of Zach Davies last night. Pablo Sandoval, you heard Todd Rosiak mention it there from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, hits one out opposite field, sitting dead red changeup. And that was the issue last night for Zach. In just five innings, gives up the three runs. Davies' ERA still sits under three at 2.6. Jimmy Nelson coming back off season-ending surgery in 2017, missed all of 2018, and about the first two full months of 2019, pitched for the first time in almost 21 months, 10 days ago, and he is part of our Inside the Clubhouse today, brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Stop in today for lunch or dinner and try the fabulous fish fry on Friday nights. Now open, Coaches on Lake Dunoon. Nelson, just across three innings in the start against the Marlins, gives up a grand slam, five runs, four of them earned. Jimmy, after the game and his first start back, he'll make his second today.
That was awesome. You know, reception from the fans and, the excitement of all the teammates and staff and everybody here the last day or two. Something I'll always remember and always appreciate. So, that was the best moment of the day, obviously.
We talked about you having to manage your emotions. Was that harder than what you thought, Jimmy?
No, I felt like I was able to do it pretty well. I got off those first couple innings were pretty smooth. So, I was able to control things there. Just really disappointing, frustrating third. I hadn't lost my command like that since like 2016. So, something that's kind of tough to wrap my head around right now, and it really frustrated me. So, been working for this and thinking about how this day would play out for almost 2 years now. So, obviously it didn't play out the way that I had envisioned it, but that's the game, and nothing's necessarily came easy for me and this process or my career necessarily, so just another hurdle to get over and work through. So I'll be back here early to start that work.
Is it hard to find kind of reasons why you feel like you lost that command at this point, or do you need to go back and look at stuff?
I mean, that's something I'll definitely be able to see more and piece that puzzle together better after seeing the video tomorrow morning. It's pretty tough right now.
As ridiculous as it might sound, does it feel good to at least just be talking about results struggles instead of physical setbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I kind of got over that several starts ago, before I even started rehab assignment. You know, I had gotten up to like 4 or 5 innings in Arizona before I even started rehab assignment, and then eventually, you know, was optioned and had a few more starts or a couple more starts or whatever it was. So, you know, I kind of felt like I had gotten past that stage of just feeling healthy and bouncing back from my starts. I felt like physically I was responding well from start to start over the last, you know, month or two. So, you know, and physically today I felt fine too. I didn't feel like I was overthrowing or anything. If anything, I felt in that third I might have been guiding it too much, kind of actually letting off the throttle too much, and you know, the command kind of suffered because of that. So, you know, sometimes you can have your command suffer because you're overthrowing, but there's also the other end of the spectrum where it can suffer if you kind of take too much off. That can mess up your timing as well.
I mean, does it feel good just to have this out of the way now and kind of be able to move forward in a more normal environment, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would have felt a lot better if we didn't lose, you know? So I just, you know, it's tough for me. I'm always a stickler for just giving us a chance to win, and I didn't do that today. And, you know, it's nice to have it out of the way, but, you know, just get back to work tomorrow and get over this one and get back to, you know, the way I know I can throw and the way I have been throwing. You know, this is very uncharacteristic as to how I've been throwing even over the last couple of months, you know. So it's not necessarily like a change in competition level. It was a change in a decrease of the execution of my stuff for that inning, that one inning at least. Yeah,
you know, because you had actually been encouraged by the break and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I hadn't had that much trouble. I mean, I had a few slip on me, but, you know, the majority of them didn't. So, obviously, I'm not blaming it on that by any means. But, you know, my misses haven't been that big in a long time. And that's something, you know, there's a couple of reasons mechanically, but I'm not going to get into that. But that's just stuff to address in the bullpen and after I do my video work. And, you know, there's no reason to think this is going to be an ongoing thing from start to start, you know. This is stuff like this is stuff I feel like that myself and Hookie and all of us are really good at addressing and kind of nipping in the bud before it becomes a 2-3 start type deal.
With the way the schedule lines up, is it a bold
thing
to
have an
idea
when
they want you to go back out there?
I'm not sure. I mean, I think I'm lined up for like the off day, so I assume it'd be like the first day in Houston unless told otherwise. So, you know, looking forward to that next one. And as you know, I'll be in here doing my work the next few days, and it'd be nice to get one in Houston back home.
There's Jimmy Nelson after his first start back, his first start in 2019, about 10 days ago against the Miami Marlins up in Miller Park. Jimmy, in defense of what he was saying, he had been throwing the ball much better down in San Antonio at Triple-A in 4 starts, 5 games. He was 3-0 with a 3.75 ERA, 24 innings of work, and just surrendering 10 earned runs, kept the ball in the ballpark relatively, 3 homers given up, and 3 men hit, 12 walks in comparison to 29 strikeouts for Jimmy down on his rehab stints this year, getting ready to come back and pitch for the crew and be a significant contributor to the crew. As Jimmy said there, he prides himself on being able to do that each and every time out. Adam McAlvey, a couple of words from the Wendy's Big Show discussing exactly where the team is right now in first place on the road. But road trips always tend to be a little dicey for the crew as they've struggled, especially out west. Here's Adam McAlvey from the Wendy's Big Show.
Well, I don't know, because they've used him in both roles, and I still think that they feel like there is a role on the major league club for Freddie Peralta. They thought it was obviously the rotation because they put him there to start the year. You know, they need to figure out whether he's got the pitch mix to be a starting pitcher. And if they remain convinced of that, then maybe there is an argument to be made for having him go start at the AAA level and just build innings and kind of be that next guy in reserve. Now, you've called up Jimmy Nelson. You've kind of dipped into your reserves a little bit, Corbin Burns in the bullpen. And I think there may be you could at least make an argument that it could be useful to get Freddie Peralta down there. But that's up to the Brewers to decide whether they're remain convinced that he can do that he can succeed in that role long term, or whether, as a, you know, with that kind of two versions of his fastball plus the curveball, whether he's best to just go pitch a couple of innings out of the bullpen every few days.
And
I think those are conversations that are ongoing.
Or just make Manny Pena his personal catcher and let's see what happens then. That's what my preference is. This is the thing about the starting rotation. Billy and I were talking about this earlier today off the air. And if you start looking at this, so if Davies continues to pitch the way he does, and Jimmy Nelson, you know, comes around, I know I'm talking about ifs here, but Jimmy Nelson comes around the way he is, Woodruff pitches the way he does, I mean, those are could be three really good pitchers, and then Chacin being the wild card of the, you know, what he does the rest of the year, if he looks like last year more than he's looked like the first couple of months, this team's starting pitching staff may be a lot better than people thought by the time they get to about middle to end of July.
Well, that's what they're going to have to bank on. And I feel like we're in the same spot we were last year,
yep,
where everybody looking at the Brewers and trying to figure out what's going to happen at the trade deadline is going to look at that rotation and be wholly unimpressed and assume that David Stearns is going to go out and get a starter. Now, remember last year he tried to. He was on Kevin Gausman before he went to the Braves and some other starters. So it's not like he didn't try to make that happen last year. But it you know, until Gio came in late, you know, it didn't. So, look, they again are in this territory where it's strength in numbers versus having those top guys. And you saw the other night what a Justin Verlander can do for you.
Sure.
Maybe a bad example because the Astros lost the game. But it's a game where, you know, if you can get at least one guy to go out deep in the game every fifth day, that makes the rest of your staff better. And, you know, Woodruff could be that guy potentially. Jimmy Nelson is going to have to show a lot to prove he's that guy. Chacin is going to have to show a lot. He did it last year, but he's not done it this year. And he's certainly a bounce-back candidate, but he's got a lot to prove. I think it's fair to say Zach Davies still has something to prove that he can sustain this, because this is a level of excellence that he has not shown in the major leagues over a full season. So there are definitely questions, and the only thing I'm sure of is that every time there's an article written or a discussion had about what's going to happen at the trade deadline, the Brewers are going to be mentioned as a team that are after starting pitchers. So I think we need to buck up, get ready for that, and I'm sure David Stearns will look. I'm sure he'll you know, just like last year, if there's a deal to be made that he likes, I think he'll make it, but that remains really tough because – those top guys are hard to find.
That's Adam McAlvey yesterday on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 2 to 6 weekdays here on The Fan. After the break, take a look at the minor leagues go down on the farm. Get an injury report as the Brewers get ready to face Madison Bumgarner and the San Francisco Giants out at Oracle Park. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, right here on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. Now, here's today's Down on the Farm report.
And you said for Brewers and Giants, Jimmy Nelson opposite Madison Bumgarner. Out at Oracle Park, 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. As we look down on the farm, the first place you have to start is Keston Hiura. He's hit 21 balls out of the ballpark, combined with AAA San Antonio and his five up at Miller Park. Three in his last two games with the San Antonio Missions last night. The Missions get a 6-1 win. And there's that man again, Keston Hiura, with another bomb last night, make it four in his last three games. Hiura with a 2-for-5 game last night, and also Mauricio Dubon up at the top of the lineup hitting 296 on the year. A 2-for-4 night in a 6-run output by your San Antonio Missions. The Double A, the Biloxi Shuckers, sitting at 40-28. They locked up the first half victory in the Southern League, and the double-A ballparks. Biloxi losing last night to the Jackson Generals 4-3. They will do battle again today at 6:05. And Bubba Derby starting in San Antonio tonight. Bubba Derby is one of the men that continues to be brought up when Brewer fans look at who could possibly come in and get a couple of innings if the Brewers do need somebody to start in place of an injury at the major league level. The California, goodness gracious, the Carolina Mudcats, excuse me, hosting the Winston-Salem Dash, lose 6-2 last night against those Dash, 38-29 at High A Carolina for the Crew. And in the ranks of the low A ball, up for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, they take on the Quad City River Bandits later on today at 6:30. Last night, the Timber Rattlers getting a 3-2 victory against Quad Cities. And the Brewers minor leagues, that's the only team that has got a under 500 record, but Bryce Terang has been the story for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers early this season. Terang, last night, a 0-for-2, but with two walks, his OPS sitting just under 800 and a 302 average for Bryce Terang up with the Timber Rattlers.
Baseball is 90% mental. And the other half is physical. So who's injured on the Crew? Here's today's injury report. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Doing the injury report on this On Deck Show for the last year, about 20 months, seemingly every single time we had to say Jimmy Nelson's name. Good to see Jimmy in the starting lineups instead of this injury report that we do right now. Yolish Chacin. Atop the injury report, expected back for Monday's start against the San Diego Padres here on this road trip. Chacin has been on with a lower back strain ever since June 17th is when he's due back. He was placed on there June 2nd through a 50-pitch bullpen on the 11th and throwing another one here in the coming days. Yolish Chacin back on Monday for the Crew. Gio Gonzalez went on just a day before Chacin, June 1st. He threw for his third straight day 2 days ago, but it's expected to be a little bit longer for Gio Gonzalez as he works a little bit of dead arm out in that left arm. Gio had an abbreviated spring training, got signed by the New York Yankees, made it through to April 20th, and had an out in his contract of when he could leave that Yankees program if he wasn't in the major leagues. Took advantage of that, and 2 days later, he was with the Crew, made a couple of starts. And dealing with a little bit of dead arm, Gio Gonzalez due back sometime in the month of July. Corey Knebel will be out all year long recovering from Tommy John surgery. We knew that back in spring training. Brent Suter, he's expected back sometime, hopefully here in 2019. Still on that 60-day DL. He underwent Tommy John surgery last July. And Bobby Wall on the injury report as well. Torn ACL, he suffered that first week or so of spring training. Bobby Wall was expected to be a piece for the Brewers out of the bullpen in the Keon Broxton deal. He will no longer deal for the Brewers at all here in 2019. The lineup one more time for you as we get you set for Brewers and Giants. Leading off for the Crew, it's Lorenzo Cain in center. Christian Yelich, the right fielder, hits second. Ryan Braun out in left, hitting third. Yasmani Grandal, the first baseman, hits fourth. Mike Moustakas, the third baseman, hitting fifth. Hernan Perez back out at second. He hits sixth. Orlando Arcia, Manny Pena doing the catching, hitting eighth. And Jimmy Nelson on the mound for the Crew. Panic, Yastrzemski, Belt, Sandoval, Vogt, Pillar, Crawford, Duggar, and Baumgartner on the mound for the Giants. And Bruce Bochy's 29-38 San Francisco Giants. Take a look around the MLB standings later on today. Once again, the Brewers just holding off the Chicago Cubs for first place in the NL Central. Cubs late game tonight, 8 o'clock start for the against the Dodgers. Two heavyweights in the NL going at it. Dodgers winning the first two of that four-game set out at Chavez Ravine. Dodgers 47-23, 10.5 games up in the NL West above both Colorado and Arizona. 13 over the San Diego Padres, who the Brewers will go see Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Padres 13 games out in the West. San Francisco 16.5 at 29-38. Brewers one up on the Cubs, 3.5 on the St. Louis Cardinals. St. Louis celebrating a Stanley Cup win, but their Cardinals have been slumping in the last 30-35 games. Cardinals doing battle later on today. against the New York Mets out in the Big Apple, a 6:10 first pitch between Mets and Cardinals, 8 games up on the Pirates and Reds. Pirates up for 6 before the All-Star break for the Crew, and the Brewers will host the Cincinnati Reds for a 4-game set coming up next weekend. In the NL East, the Braves up 2.5 on the Philadelphia Phillies. Mets 7.5 back. Washington Nationals 32-37. They're in fourth above the Miami Marlins. And in the AL, just a half game back in the AL East are the New York Yankees, trailing the Tampa Bay Rays, who've been one of the surprise teams here in 2019 so far at 42-27, over a .600 win percentage for the Rays. The reigning World Series champions, the Boston Red Sox, 37-34 after a really, really tough start, 5-5 in their last 10, but a 42-plus run differential for the Boston Red Sox. They're 6 games out in the AL East. Blue Jays and Orioles all the way back, 17-21 games behind the Rays, respectively. The Twins up 11 games in the AL Central, and they've been one of the hottest teams in baseball, just trailing the Houston Astros for the best record in the AL at 46-22, up 11 games on the Cleveland Indians, who have won that division the last 4 years. White Sox, Tigers, and Royals round out the Central, and the Houston Astros comfortably up in that AL West. Although the Oakland Athletics made a run at a wild card bid last year, they're 12 games back. Angels 13, and the Seattle Mariners, who will be at Miller Park, part of that 10-game homestand before the All-Star break. Mariners 18.5 games out at 30-43. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Thanks for listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. Who's Hot, Who's Not is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashions since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Hard to say that Keston Hira is not hot. 281 average, 5 homers, and 9 RBIs when he was up here with the big league club since going down. He has hit over 350 for the San Antonio Missions, including in his last 4 games, hitting 5 home runs. One of those coming last night. Lorenzo Cain comes up in the not category. Low Cain struggling again last night, but in his last 7 days, just a .167 average for Low. Brewers trying to find a way to get that .250 average. The on base for Lorenzo Cain at just .308. The staggering number, though, for the All-Star from last year. Mike Moustakas, it's like he's paying rent in the hot category. .280 average. He's now sitting on 21 home runs. Moose had a chance, was the final out in last night's game, but after a walk to Yasmani Grandal, Moustakas came up representing the tying run in a 5-3 ball game. Christian Yelich seemingly always in the hot category as well, hitting over .400 in the last week. But against the San Francisco Giants and Madison Bumgarner in particular in his career, just 5-16, a .313 average with 4 doubles, has yet to leave the park against Mad Bum. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. Come on back. We'll go on to the roundtables presented by McCormick Law Office with Tim Allen, host of the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show. Franchise joins us next, along with the producer of Chuck and Winkler here on 105.7 FM, The Fan, 6 to 10. Ryan Horvat joins us next on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief, right here on The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the Crew. Get ready for the roundtable, brought to you by McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Just inside of a half hour away from first pitch out at Oracle Park in San Francisco, where it'll be 58 first pitch. Get a little warmer throughout the afternoon into the 60s with some cloud cover. That's your field and game conditions presented by Stein's Home and Garden. Stein's Premium Weed Control Plus Lawn Food is comparable to national brands for less, formulated exclusively for Wisconsin lawns. Stein's planted in Wisconsin, growing with you since 1946. Join us now on the McCormick Law Office Roundtable. You hear this guy after each and every game. You talk to him. You've done that for the last 14 years. On the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, Tim Allen, the franchise, along with Ryan Horvat, producer of Chuck and Winkler, 6 to 10, right here on The Fans. Guys, good afternoon. Timmy, I'll start with you. Jimmy Nelson back for his second start here in 2019, back from the reconstructive shoulder surgery that kept him out for little over 20 months. What do you expect to see out of Jimmy? 3 innings and 5 runs the last time out against the Marlins.
Yeah, I would think you want him to improve. Look at how many starts they're giving a guy like Freddie Peralta.
Mm-hmm.
You have to invest the time in Jimmy Nelson to get back on track here. And I don't think he can pitch any worse than he did last time out. So just get some improvement and keep your team in the ball game. And that's exactly what they're looking for. I heard Adam McKelvey on with you guys just a little bit ago, and he's the same way, man. He's a lot of people last year looked at it as, wow, how are they going to piece this together? Is Chase Anderson this year and then Zach Davies last year? It's Wade Miley and Yoli Chacin. And so he's part of that. Jimmy is part of that, to where we talk about surprises. And some are good and some are bad. We know we're going to get surprises. And this hopefully is going to be one of those good ones that he not only keeps his team in a ball game, sees some improvement, but dominates. That's where they want him to be. That's where we want him to be.
Ryan, and last time we saw Jimmy pitch outside of the Miami game, back in 2017, he was dominating. He was one of the best pitchers in the National League when he goes out with the injury at Wrigley Field in September of 2017. What are your realistic expectations for Jimmy in the near future? Not necessarily just today, as Tim outlined. We need to see him pitch better, and Jimmy knows that, and everybody does. But what do you believe the Brewers can expect out of Jimmy, more importantly, up until the July 31st deadline, when they might have to make a decision on who they would want to go with moving forward for the last 2 months of the season?
Yeah, I think this is a huge stretch because you got, yesterday it was, 23 games and 24 days now before the All-Star break. So really, they just need guys that could eat up innings. Gio's throwing again, but right now you need guys in the starting rotation that could go 5 to 6 innings. I think, honestly, Jimmy Nelson could be the same pitcher that he was before the injury. I just think it's going to take it could take up to another 6 months to a full season. First, it's all about confidence. I think that's what it was. Obviously just 3 innings in his first outing, but I think he's got to get his confidence back and then just try to figure everything out. That's just anything with the shoulder, such a brutal injury. You never really know what to expect, but I think it's all mental. And I think you get a couple good starts, you figure it out, you could go 5-6 innings, and then I think you could return to form. A lot of people are negative on him, but we see it all the time, but you just never really know what to expect with that type of injury. If it was an elbow or anything else, you could put a timetable on it, but we just really don't know. But obviously rooting for the guy, especially rooting for him today, because I can't stand Madison Bumgarner.
And Jimmy Nelson actually a favorite against Madison Bumgarner on the road, -110. Horvat, I know you saw that. Tim, just wanted to make you aware of it. Guys, let's move on to the offensive side. Christian Yelich in an 11-game hitting streak, 22 for his last 44 with 4 doubles and 4 bombs, 10 driven in, and his OPS is nearing 1,500. Tim, at this point in the year, Cody Bellinger, the Brewers put out the stats yesterday. He only leads Yelich really in average, and it's a mere 7-point differential when you look at 352 in comparison to a 345 average. Otherwise, Yelich dominates in every other statistical offensive category. Now, Christian Yelich is the favorite to repeat as NL MVP, correct?
No, not if you watch MLB Network, not if you watch ESPN, not if you read Fox News or Fox Sports.
I think Trump said something with George Stephanopoulos about it a couple of days ago. I believe Cody Bellinger, he's the best candidate to win MVP right now. He's a gigantic human being.
It's like they're giving him the MVP already. All the coverage is on Bellinger. And then Yelich gets a little snippet here and there. Oh, don't forget about Yelich. Boy, what a fine season he's had following up last year's National League MVP. I mentioned it last night. One of the things I'm frustrated with Brewers baseball isn't really with Brewers baseball. It's with the national baseball scene. It's with these guys just kissing Bellinger's tail. I get it. He's good. Fine. When you compare it, Billy, you just stated the statistical information right there. When you compare it, man, Yelly still has him. Sorry, Bellinger fans.
Ryan, it appears that Bellinger is, and Tim's right, he's the people's champ if you look at the national media. But in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, kind of fallen off of a pace, and it was a historic pace. He was hitting over 400. But right now, who would you, if you were going to the window at this point in June, who would you be placing some dollars on for locking up NL MVP this season?
I'd definitely go with Christian Yelich. I expected big things from him again this season, but I think I even said it you know, in the beginning of the year, which if Tim remembers, I also called this Mike Moustakas pace that he's on for 40 homers. I did get a little crazy and say that he could compete for a batting title, but I didn't expect these kind of numbers from Yelich, but I would put my money on him, to tell you the truth. Same thing with Bellinger. I mean, great player, but he's only 23 years old, and when he gets cold, I mean, he goes on these stretches for a longer time. The only thing that would scare me a little bit with Yelich would just be, you know, the back issues when they do flare up, but I don't even think that's anything serious. I agree, though. I watch Major League Baseball Network all the time, and I don't know if it's just because the Dodgers, I mean, I think we all have to agree, though, as a team, they're scary. They're ridiculous, but just as a whole, the Brewers, I think, still just get no love. I mean, what have they won? 5 of their last 6, 6 of their last 7, something like that. And he's got a full game lead now over the Cubs. And still, when I watch MLB Network, all the talk is on the Cubs with the signing of Craig Kimbrell. And it's like, I feel like that's where you want to be. That's where the Brewers were last year, under the radar. And that's why you made the comeback, and that's why you're playing in game 163. And you kind of just snuck up on the Cubs. So I think that's really where you want to be, under the radar. But I think we all have to agree, maybe Bellinger's getting all the love just because the Dodgers are so dangerous. Like, they're a scary team. And I keep saying every year they're going to fall off, because every year, you know, they go to the World Series, they choke, and it's like, okay, this is – they can't be back next year. But, I mean, if I had to put some money at the window, I'd probably take them to repeat and go to the World Series.
Joining us on the McCormick Law Office Roundtable in the Great Midwest Bank Hotline is Ryan Horvath, producer of the Chuck and Winkler program here, 6 to 10 on The Fan, and Tim Allen. Talk to him after the game on the Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show, along with myself. Yeah, and guys, the last 30 days, Bellinger hitting sub 290 and only 7 balls leaving the park for Cody Bellinger, on pace to be a race throughout the rest of the season. Ryan, you cover these games. You're out postgame a lot more than Tim and I are able to. After the game, and Tim previously, or prior to the game, we get in there and have an opportunity to talk to some of these players. But Ryan, after the games, it seems to be a team that has continued to be that level-headed, steaming giant, that steam train to move forward that they were last year. And you're right, when they fly underneath the radar, it appears that the team holds a different mantra than they usually do.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's, when you're in the clubhouse, you know, and baseball, obviously a long season, 162 games. And I just mentioned, you know, you're playing pretty much every day from now until the All-Star break. So guys are going to get tired. And in the media, you know, if you listen to all the shows in any market, whether it's in Chicago or New York, if a team drops 5 of 6 or goes on a road trip and plays like crap and loses to a team like the Giants, like last night's a perfect example of why baseball is the weirdest and craziest game. If you look on paper, I mean, I'm throwing all my money on the Brewers last night. You got a starter that's going up, he's undefeated, and he's going up against a guy on paper with an ERA almost at 8. You're like, okay, the Brewers are going to win this game. But we freak out when our team loses 5 of 6 or 6 of 7, but it's such a long season, and these road trips are so weird, especially these West Coast trips, because guys are just, you know, set in their ways. You wake up at the same time, this and that. So when that gets thrown off and you're playing baseball at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., you know, it's just a long season, but that's what you notice when you're in the clubhouse, is guys never get too high after the wins, or, you know, too down after these losing streaks. And you're like, man, everybody, you know, all of us as fans and in the media, we're all freaking out. Like, is this team going to be okay? You know, the Cubs have a 2-game, 3-game lead here, or, you know, the Cardinals are on a 10-game winning streak, and they're just the same team after every win, after every loss. And that's really what you like to see, you know, because now you've been there. You know, you were a game away from the World Series. So you got veterans in that clubhouse that know what it's like, you know, to win and lose in Major League Baseball. So I think it's really important.
Tim, and you talk to fans each and every game after the game here, and you spoke to it last year, I know, in the last couple of years since I've been with you on the postgame, of learning how to be in these pennant races. Brewers fans don't have a whole lot of experience in postseason baseball, but to Ryan's point, it appears that the fan base has leveled off in their premature fears, I guess is the best way to put it, in-game fears of this game is the tipping point of the season, but understanding that the next game is really going to be the biggest game of the year and the only one that you can control.
Yeah, and I think it's still an evolution to learn how to watch that way. But Horvath said it right. I mean, I believe we're still looking at a situation where if the Cubs are up by 3 games, let's say, next week or at the All-Star break, there will be a portion of the fan base that does have a little bit of a freak out in them. Like, see, I told you, it's just not like last year. I told you, you got too much expectations out there. Get ready, Billy, man, because we're going to hear it. We will hear it. And we predicted that at the beginning of the season, that it's going to go back and forth. Don't freak out. Yeah, is it a tough loss when you can't come through with runners in scoring position? They left 11 on base last night. You lose to the Giants. Nothing against the Giants, but you lost that game. The Giants didn't win it. The Brewers lost that game. So when you look at it that way, I'm okay with it. Sometimes it depends on how you lose. But you know you're going to lose some. How you lose,
right,
is a bigger factor than just knowing that you're going to lose.
Guys, one thing that we couldn't look for in the beginning of the season and really expect would be Lorenzo Cain, Tim. Just 250, and the on-base percentage is the one that I really keep looking at, of 308 for Lo Cain already so far here in 2019.
That's the big one. That's the big one. He goes from 395 to 308. And imagine Yelly with 55 knocked in, what Yelly would have.
Right.
I mean, Lorenzo Cain is getting on bases, well, maybe as much as a guy like Orlando Arcia.
And you would expect that the pitches that he would be seeing, Tim, to the point of how good Christian has been, that he would be seeing so many better pitches hitting right in front of him.
Rough luck, man. Not to sound like the Braun of last year, but it's worse than Braun of last year. This dude is going through some rough times on the luck and no luck category. So I would sit and wait, because there's going to be a waterfall for Lorenzo Cain when it gets going.
And one guy that has been going Horvat all year long, Yasmani Grandal. Talk about a difference in on base for Yasmani. He's hitting 280 with a 384 on base and two huge walks last night.
Yeah, he's been on fire. And, I mean, there was people that wanted him out of the lineup and this and that, but, I mean, what a great signing. Probably one of the biggest pickups of the offseason. You know, really quick, going back to what you said about Kane and just some of these guys, do you think I don't know about Zeus. I don't know if he's ever going to turn it around. But I think with some of these guys struggling, do you think, you know, being a game away from the World Series last year, you play in Game 7, the NLCS. We hear every year about the World Series hangover, but – with a guy like Kane, you know, he's not getting any younger. He's ran into the wall a couple times. He's banged up a little bit. Do you think maybe injury is playing a factor in why he's not getting on base? And just a couple of the guys that aren't hitting the ball, Travis Shaw, let's say.
Tim, I think it's a valid point when you look at how they've done it and the issues that they've had, that some of it can be due to the amount of games that you ended up playing last year. But when you look at Lorenzo Cain, a gamer, but you don't believe that it is due to his age, as he hits now 32 years old.
Right. No, not at all. He's like I said, he's going to get it going. It's just, if you watch every at-bat so far this year, you see the way he's making some of these outs. And quite frankly, Horvat hit it right. He's crashing into walls. He's bouncing balls off his off his legs. He's getting hit by pitches. He's the wrecking crew himself. He really is. But on base a couple of times last night, had a couple of hits. That was big. Had a rough time in Houston. That was a rough series for Lorenzo Cain. I think he came out of the two-game set at 1-for-11. So he turned that around last night with a couple of hits.
Tim, final thing for you. I want to ask you, I have to, after a game last night where you play so solid in the field, especially, and then have a couple of really, really pro at-bats for HP. Feels like he's going to earn himself a little bit more playing time of a guy that seems to get in there maybe 3, 4, 5 times a week. HP playing tremendous last night at second base.
Well, are you willing to have him play over Shaw, Zeus, and Thames? Because there's a configuration you can get him more ABs. And it would be at the mercy of those three guys. So I guess you might have to tinker with this the longer it goes on with Zeus. The longer it goes on with Thames, I'm sorry, with Shaw, more you're going to have to consider it. Or Keston here just pull the trigger. But we're getting close. Billy, Ryan, we're getting close on making a decision with Aguilar, with a Shaw, with a Thames, with a Keston Hira. They're all interlocking pieces here, and the decision's coming soon.
Tim, appreciate it. We'll talk after the game.
You got it.
There's Tim Allen, host of the Bayview Shade and Blind post-game show here after the game, after Brewers and Giants here on The Fan. Ryan, last thing for you. When do you believe that the Keston Hira move could be made? You just heard Tim lay it out there that it appears a decision on Zeus and Thames as well as Travis Shaw is going to have to be made sooner rather than later.
Right. I would expect it next week, wouldn't you, or before the break? I would want to start the second half of the season clean. I would want Keston Hira back up in the lineup. Just right now, I mean, we could keep saying that Travis Shaw is going to figure it out, that Zeus is going to figure it out, but I don't know. I mean, deadline's going to be coming up. If you want another starting pitcher or you want another bat, you know, a guy that hits, you know, I don't know, like 302, you're looking for a guy that could just get on the base. You know, especially you talk about Lorenzo Cain just struggling to get on the bags and what Yelich's RBI number would look like if he was able to. You might want just another professional hitter, or another starting pitcher, somebody else in the bullpen. So you'll see who you could deal around. But I would expect Keston to be back up before the All-Star break, I would hope. You need that bat in the lineup every single day. I agree with everybody.
Ryan, appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. And enjoy those boys in the morning. Make sure that they keep themselves in line.
Hey, thanks, man. Have a good weekend.
That's Ryan Horvath. And both fathers, remiss to say, happy Father's Day to both of those gentlemen. It's Father's Day tomorrow. Milwaukee Brewers and all Major League Baseball will celebrate tomorrow wearing their light blues all across Major League Baseball for Father's Day and prostate health across the major leagues. The Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin On Deck Show before Brewers and Giants. Wrapping up here, final thing, we'll give you the lineups one more time for the Brewers with Jimmy Nelson on the bump going up against Madison Bumgarner. In about 10 minutes from right now, it'll be Lorenzo Cain leading off in center field. Christian Yelich, reigning NL MVP, out in right. Ryan Braun in his customary left field. Hitting third, hitting fourth, cleaning up at first, Yasmani Grandal. Mike Moustakas at third base, hitting fifth, it's HP. Hernan Perez at second, Orlando Arcia, the shortstop, Manny Pena, does the catching for Jimmy Nelson and for Bruce Bochy's Giants. Joe Panik at second. Mike Yastrzemski out in left, had the game-winning home run last night, hitting second. It's Brandon Belt at first, hitting third, Pablo Sandoval. Mans the hot corner, cleaning up. Steven Vogt, former Brewer, the catcher, hitting fifth. Kevin Pillar out in right. Brandon Crawford, the shortstop, hits seventh. Steven Duggar out in center. And Madbaum on the mound this season, a 3.83 ERA, a 2.6 career earned run average against the Milwaukee Brewers. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, saying thanks for listening. Pella Windows and Doors, a Wisconsin On Deck show, presented by Allegra Allergy Relief. We'll talk after the game. The Bayview Shane Blind postgame show. Brewers, Giants, coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.